So often we think of spiritual and physical not really going together, like they were in different spheres or something. But the spiritual always dwells within the physical, just like our soul dwells within our body. We're not separate, but one, flesh and spirit. And God is that way with God's creation. Creation emanates out from God, spoken by the Word in the beginning. And no matter how vast it gets, the galaxies, the cosmos, the vastness is just almost unimaginable to us humans. And yet every single particle of that reflects God's glory because it comes from God and it images God in some way. But it's all unconscious. It doesn't have any choice. It can't choose to reflect God's glory. It just does by being what it is. But humans have choice. They have will. They have consciousness, the ability to recognize that they come from God and to recognize that their possibility of giving glory to God and reflecting God's glory is a choice that they can make. And so that creation that separates itself from God returns to God in a level of creation that gets to the point of freedom and will and consciousness. Now, that's very recent. In the 13.8 billion years since the Big Bang, if you put that on a 24-hour clock, humans come on the scene at the last second before midnight. That's how recent we are. So the glory of God is being reflected in a particular way here at the end, as it begins its final journey back to God, to be one with God forever. So the divinization of humanity, the possibility for humans to reflect divine glory in a conscious way that the early fathers of the church used to love to call divinization, the making divine of human beings, the ability to recognize that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, actually dwells within our bodies. And the Baltimore Catechism used to call that being temples of the Holy Spirit, the God dwelling within. And Emmanuel, of course, means God with us. That God is not somehow up there and apart, but within. St. Augustine in the 4th century said, "All these years, Lord, I was looking out there, and all that time you were in here." We're looking out for God, and sometimes we should be looking within for God. But it takes on a particularity in the history of Israel. It starts out with the particularity of one person, Abraham. Because in order for that to become consciously aware in our mentality, it helps to particularize it. And so one man, Abraham, becomes one nation of Israel, especially elect out of all of humanity. Israel is elected to show in a particular way the very justice of God, the glory of God. And of course, they don't always live that perfectly. There's a lot of sin involved in that and the breaking of the covenants, and the relationship that God desires doesn't always get fulfilled by Israel. But the prophets keep promising it. They keep filling Israel with hope. One day, someone, a particular one, again, that particularity, will come. And that's what Isaiah is talking about in that first reading. For a son is going to be born for us. And they will call him Mighty God and Prince of Peace and Father forever. And he will sit on the throne of his father David, to whom God promised that his dynasty would never end. But of course it did in small human terms. But in divine terms, it lives forever in Christ. And we are part of all that. And so the message of Christmas is twofold. One is, if a particular person like Abraham can say yes to God's design, if a nation of Israel can say yes to God's design and try to live the justice and the peace and the glory of God in the human community, and if Mary, a simple, uneducated, from the poorer classes, from no place like Nazareth, what good can come from Nazareth, Philip once says in the Gospels. If that simple young girl can say yes to that and experience an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit so that she becomes the God-bearer. For 9 months she carries Jesus in her womb. She is the mother of God. And if that can happen to Mary, then that can happen to you and me. And in fact, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, he breathes his very spirit on his disciples and tells them, now go out and live this in the world. Transform the world into the kingdom of God. Baptize everyone. Preach the good news that God is on your side. To live out the eschatological end of Israel, the goal of Israel, to be a just society, to be a divine community, living in peace and living in justice and living in judgment. Just like St. Paul tells Titus in that second reading. This gospel has given to us, this truth has been enlightened for us, not just for our glory any more than it was ever for Israel's glory to be the elect. It was so that the rest of the world would be jealous, so that the rest of the world would say, I want what they have. And so St. Paul is telling Titus, if we are going to live out the eschatological Israel, if we're going to live in the very justice of God, then that should be somehow reflected in our lives. And to the extent that we live that justice, the rest of the world would say, I want what they have. I want that deep peace that I know the world can't give. I want that deep down divine satisfaction, that well-being, that absolute joy that they have. And we need to be reminded of that from time to time. And one of the reasons we celebrate Christmas annually is to be reminded that in a particular way, I am the bearer of God, that I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, that my flesh is a dwelling place for the Spirit of God, and so is yours. We need to be reminded of that annually, but we also are reminded of it weekly whenever we celebrate Eucharist, because God is with us here at the altar in his flesh and blood. This is not just a spiritual reality here. This is not just a story. This is an historical reality that we are remembering, that he offered his body and blood as a living sacrifice on the cross, and he invites us into that same death, into that same self-sacrifice. St. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And so we remember it here. We join ourselves to it here. We become, at least ritually, that eschatological Israel that lives in the very justice of God. And then we do the best we can, graced by this presence, to take it out there, like St. Paul says, and live it in the world to make the rest of the world jealous.